Buddy, welcome to another episode of evolutionary.org. Hardcore, not softcore, but hardcore up your ass raw podcast. Your host, Steve Smee. I got my Mason on hand as well, hosting the show. And we have a very fun show ahead of you tonight. We have some interesting stuff that we're going to do. A little different, and we have some cool segments that we're going to be introducing regularly each time. So on this election night, 2017 in the United States, let's get it going. The first topic is another segment of Fix My Cycle, bruh. So this is what this guy put together, and it's kind of a goofy cycle he put together, but it has potential. So I'm gonna say the cycle that he wants help with. I'm gonna chime in with my advice. Matt's gonna chime in with his opinion, and we're gonna give it to you. So he wants to run a 12-week cycle with test at 250 milligrams a week. He wants to run Primobolan at 750 milligrams per week. He wants to run growth hormone at 2.5 IUs every day. And he wants to add T4 or T3. So he didn't say his goals, he didn't say his stats. So let's do our best to kind of help this motherfucker out. And let me tell you, first of all, 12 weeks is okay. When you're running a Primo cycle, you probably want to go a little longer, maybe 14, 15 weeks, because Primo is one of those that it's got, you're going to gain lean muscle mass. So you want to kind of milk that for as many weeks as you can. It's got an ester attached to it. So it's really going to start peaking around week four, week five, week six. So if you're running a 12-week cycle, you're only going to have peak levels in your system for like 6 or 7 weeks. Which is fine, we don't need to get greedy, but you may want to consider extending it a little longer, maybe 13, 14, 15 weeks instead. That would be my first advice. Testosterone, drop the dose to like 175 or 200 instead of doing 250. This way, you're letting the Primo do the work. I like to let the Primo work its magic. The testosterone is being added in here to give it like an androgenic kick. The 750 milligrams a week, it's high. I've always ran Primo between 400 and 600 milligrams a week, and I got sensational results. So 750 milligrams per week, I have to ask you, is your source any good? Because if you're getting quality Primo, you do not have to run 750 milligrams a week. I assure you, 500 milligrams a week is plenty. But again, it depends. There's a lot of crappy Primo out there. Make sure your Primo is legit. As far as your growth hormone, 2.5 IUs every day is low. If you're running it in a cycle, you need to run at least 4 IUs. And 12 weeks isn't very long either. I'm not saying you're not gonna get results. But I'm saying you're kind of wasting your money doing that little bit of GH for that short of time. So I'd swap in Nutrabol instead. That would be my advice on that. Nutrabol, you can run for 12 weeks and get some good results. And it's going to give you those same appetite increase. It's going to help your sleep, and it's going to help cut fat. As far as T4 or T3, I would not run either one. I would not run. I do not like fucking with my thyroid. I would run Cardarine. GW515016 instead. You can run the card ring for the entire cycle, no problems. Matt, what's your opinions?
Yeah, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad. It's different. Right off the top, I actually like the idea of somebody using Primo. It's one of the best, and you really don't see it used a lot just because, people like those dramatic results. And you don't get that necessarily with Primo, but you do get quality results. And if you're going to be in this game, that's important. We actually brought it up on the podcast last time, gaining 1 to 2 pounds of lean muscle per year is pretty good. There's no reason to go crazy. So I like the idea of Primo. Yeah, the dose might be a little high, but again, we don't know how experienced this guy is. Maybe that's you know, what his sweet spot is. I don't know. If not, then, you know, save yourself some money. Primo's not cheap, and, you know, start off with 400 or 500 milligrams a week and see how you do. The testosterone dose, this is, so I've been having this mental internal battle with myself the last couple weeks, about a lower dose of test. And the thing I struggle with, like, I have no problem with Steve's suggestion of 175 per week, but where I start having this back and forth in my head is, you know, most UGL gear is not dosed properly. So if I know I'm getting 175 milligrams, perfect. I know I'm good. That's going to be a TRT dose, basically a little bit more for me. Like, I know that's fine. I'm going to get good results with that in the Primo. But if I think I'm doing 175 and I'm actually only getting 100 milligrams because my gear's underdosed, then what are we doing here? Then I'm just shutting down my, you know, natural test to replace it with 100 milligrams. And then I'm kind of shooting myself in the foot, right? So it kind of, I'm going back and forth here, because if he's running 750 on the Primo, maybe he knows the source is a little bit underdosed. So I that's one I struggle with. If we're just going to, you know, go on level playing fields and say everything's dosed properly, I like the Primo 400 or 500 for starting off with it. Test maybe 200, perfect. The HGH and the T3 idea makes me think that he's cutting. That's what I want to say. That's his goal. Or he's just trying to, you know, stay really lean, not add any fat. HGH will help with that, but definitely run it longer than the 12 weeks if you're going to actually, you know, get something major out of it. It's so fucking expensive that, you know, 12 weeks, I'm not going to run HGH for 12 weeks because it's not, I can't justify the money, right? If I'm going to go all in and invest and get good pharmacy product, I'm going to run it for, you know, 6 months, a year, really, to get, you know, the most. And the 2.5 I use per day, it's a little low. 4 is probably the minimum that I'd want to run on that. But I do like it. I mean, if you got a good source for it, I think it's a great addition. So, I don't want to knock HGH. T3 and T4, I have to agree with Steve. It's terrible. It's just outdated at this point. It's easy to get. Every source has it. You'll see it on the forums from, you know, a lot of the guys that used it way back in the day when that's what they had. But you're going to get some side effects. You know, you're going to get an increased heart rate, which, you know, if you're using any other stimulants, that's going to cause a problem. And in my mind, there's always the what if with your thyroid. It's not something you want to mess with, and you want to take that chance that it's not going to come back. With the way that things have evolved, I just feel like there's better alternatives. Nutriball is good. It's definitely a good one if you're going to run a shorter, you know, a 12-week cycle and you're not going to extend the HGH. Definitely a good one to run. The only thing I have to say is you have to have some accountability and you have to have some willpower. You know, a lot of you guys are fantastic and you got your diets right, your training right. But some of you guys want to puss out and blame, you know, lack of results on these compounds. Well, I got hungry from the Nutriball. Well, then don't fucking eat so much. You know, I just read a study today that a guy's bringing up on the forums about, you know, guy gained this much lean mass, but he also gained twice as much fat. Well, that's because he's stuffing his face, right? The Nutriball is not causing direct fat gain. It's actually going to do the opposite. It's going to help you with fat loss. But if you're eating in a surplus, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're going to gain fat. And Nutriball does have that side effect, stronger for, you know, some people than others. So you got to be responsible for your own actions. And, you know, I think it's great to run, but don't think that you can run it and then just eat a ton of food if you're trying to cut. It's just not going to work for you. So, you know, that's kind of my suggestions on the cycle. If you do run the test pretty low, you probably could get away with not even using an AI on this cycle. Like, I'd get blood work to you know, verify that because everybody's different. But, you know, a TRT dose, most people that I know do not need an AI on a TRT dose. Some people do, but it's a really light dose. So I think that's nice in that aspect. You know, you're not running anything liver toxic. So I like it, you know, in that aspect too. So I would just run your typical, you know, support supplements to keep your body healthy, you know, still run your N2 guard, even though you don't have anything liver toxic, your organs are stressed. So, you know, I'd have that in there, but, you know, other than running a thorough PCT, I don't think there's anything else support wise you're going to need in that cycle. So I guess that's kind of my thoughts on it.
Yeah. I mean, I would keep an AI on hand. And it just depends if you're a person that tends to have estrogenic side effects. And there are people who will like to run a light AI dose on a cycle like this. It's good to keep it on hand or run a very light AI dose. But you never want to overdose on your aromatase inhibitors. You don't want to use too much aromasin. And that's the one that I recommend because you don't want to drop your estrogen levels too low because that can cause side effects. I'd also run N2Guard on this. N2Guard is a great support supplement. And that will basically cover all your bases from A to Z. So, Matt, you know, you're the PCT expert. What's a PCT this guy can run? Can you run it through real quick? And then we'll move on to the next topic.
Yeah, I'm still going to absolutely run the perfect PCT. That's the sticky on the evolutionary.org forums for this one. You're running enough gear. You're shutting everything down right to the bare bones in your system for 12 weeks. So you're absolutely going to need to run, you know, not just a 4-week, 2-CERM PCT. Not going to cut it. You're running a good cycle. You're spending your money on Primo and possibly HGH. So now is not the time to, you know, to not spend the money. So you're gonna need your Clomid and Novadex. You're going to definitely need some HC Generate ES, which you would start right after your last injection. That'll make you feel so much better. That's really the key to it. So you're going to need those. You're not going to need an AI in your PCT at all. Even if you need a light dose on your cycle, I would skip that one. I just don't think it's going to be necessary. But I would definitely add in Carterin, and I definitely add in Osterin to help you keep your gains, you know, so you're not losing any muscle, to help you keep those cortisol levels down, help you push through your workouts, help keep the fat off, as you know, the steroids are leaving your system. So really look up that thread, but you're going to want, you know, want to run all those and the N2 guard, keep going with that through PCT. Cause even though you know, you think the steroids are leaving your system, so it's getting easier on your body, not necessarily true. Anytime you're sending your body, you know, on a roller coaster, it's stressful. So yes, the steroids are leaving your system, but that's causing your hormone levels, again, to fluctuate like crazy. So as your body's trying to adapt and come back, it's under a lot of stress. So definitely just keep going with it all the way through your PCT. When you look up that sticky, there's another one with it that gives you a really simple layout because it is thorough, and this really is the best way to recover. So check that out. And if you have any questions, post up a thread. We answer them all the time. And, you know, PCT is extremely important. So, you know, don't be shy. Don't be afraid to ask.
So next one, we have another new segment, and it's basically a live way for you to submit your questions on relationships because we get so many relationship questions. So I'm just going to pop the first one that came up on my email here. And this is let me go through it. It says, Dear Steve and Matt, I found out the only girl I've been with and I was head over heels with left me for another guy and has been fucking the new dude 3 times. I found this out by looking on her Facebook and seeing the new guy bragging on his page. Well, first of all, get rid of your fucking social media, dude. I mean, it's just going to drive you fucking crazy. And stop stalking your fucking ex-girlfriend, okay? I mean, who the fuck does that? I mean, he says, I helped take care of her kid, which is also beta as fuck. You know, you should never take care of some other loser's kid. He says, I bought her daughter clothes and a bicycle and treated her like my own. Well, she isn't your own, you dumb fuck. Let her lose her dad by her shit, you know? Unless the chick is hot, you know? Then in that case, maybe I guess it changes. But I did so much for her and her daughter and put my heart, soul into it. And I'm absolutely crushed. I am very depressed right now. I want to kill myself. Please help me with some advice on what I should do. Well, I guess I'll reach out to you. I'll reach out through this fucking microphone and slap you silly, dude. I mean, look, every girl is going to break your heart at some point, okay? Because when you're a fucking beta cuck, the way you're acting, going on her Facebook and stalking her and, you know, taking care of another girl's kid and all this shit, at your fucking age, I mean, obviously this guy is young. If you're fucking 30, 40, 50 years old or something, then yeah, and that's a different ballgame. But this guy sounds like he's fucking 20 or 22 years old. Okay? You know, you got no business messing around with a girl like this. Obviously, she's a slut. If she's having kids and shit at her age and she's, you know, fucking different guys off of Facebook, turn your fucking Facebook off and stop stalking her, number one. Number two, yeah, it's gonna fucking suck, okay? She's not your first love, real love. I mean, you think you're in love with her, but you're not. You don't know what fucking love is at your age. Wait till you get older and see what real love is. It's gonna change. But girls are gonna fucking screw with you. They're gonna screw with your head, and they're gonna fuck you up, you know, like this girl did to you. So get fucking used to it, because it's going to happen over and over and over again. And until you fucking stop being a beta cuck and say, oh, I'm going to kill myself because a girl broke up with me. Of course she's going to break up with you. Who wouldn't break up with you? And when you're acting like a fucking bitch. So get your shit together and take this as a learning experience and stop falling in love with these slutty ass girls off of Facebook and start maturing, get your education, get a career going, save fucking money, invest your fucking money, start a business, do something productive with your life. And then when you get older, you can worry about falling in love with a fucking girl. That's my advice to you, dude. Because right now it sucks, but I guarantee you, if you do what I just fucking told you, in 10 years from now, you look back and you're like, man, you know, I was a fucking idiot. What do you think, Matt?
You know, if this guy's never run a cycle in his life, I think this might be the only time I can justify trenbolone on a first cycle. This guy needs some tren. And I'm only half kidding, because it sounds like he's a bitch. And I hate to be that, because I'm, you know, the family guy. I tend to be more diplomatic, but you got to stop being a bitch. There's a reason why women love the dickheads. Okay, this is it sucks because you're the nice guy, you know, and you're being taken advantage of, but you need some androgens in your system. Okay, you need to man up, you need to get pissed off, and then you need to ignore her, because that's the best way that you can get back. She wants you to be jealous, right? And the other side of it, like, I see this all the time, because everybody's divorced and everybody's got kids and it's a clusterfuck everywhere. And what happens is her ex is giving her money for these kids, right? They're his kids, so he's got to pay child support. And that money's supposed to go towards paying for things for the kids, clothes, bicycles, sports that they play. So now she's getting this money from him. You're buying her kids bikes and all this other shit. So what's she doing with all this money? She's just keeping it in her pocket. She's partying. She's having fun. And you guys are just funding her, right? Like, this is ridiculous. So first of all, don't sweat it, because she's taking advantage of people and it'll come back to her. And that's fine. All you can do is worry about yourself. This is a great time to get your own shit together. Steve nailed it. The first thing you do is you get rid of all your social media, because you don't need it. It's for babies. It's for stalkers. It's only going to piss you off. Nothing good comes from it. So just get your ass off of there. You need motivation. You need to talk to people. Come to the forums. because we'll keep your ass in gear. We'll hold you accountable, and you're going to get your shit together. You're going to get yourself in shape. That's what you're going to do, right? I don't know what you look like. I don't know what your stats, experience with, you know, nutrition, training, any of that is, but this is the time you're going to get into it. And we're going to get you getting a six pack of abs. We're going to get you, you know, filled out with muscle, and then you're going to move on and you're going to find somebody eventually. You're not going to go searching for it. Focus on yourself. And eventually when you find someone, it'll be the right person. But this is when shit like this happens, this is the best time for you to get into the gym, because it helps you clear your head. It helps you get some aggression out. And it can be a real turning point in your life. And we see this all the time with not only relationships, but with people that, you know, they just get sober, or, you know, they lose a family member. Something devastating happens and they go to the gym and they find this new love of, you know, fixing their body. Because you have 100% control over how you look. You know, genetics will determine how far you can get naturally, but you have control over it. So that's what I'd be doing. And you know what? If you ever run into her down the road and you're looking fantastic, you don't have to do anything. Just smile, say hi, right? And then, you know, you'll see who wins in the end. But somebody like that, you just drop them. They're useless to you. So learn from that point. And also learn not to let people take advantage of you, because clearly you had no idea she was playing. And it seems pretty obvious now looking back at it. So, you know, just get your shit together.
Yeah, and guess what? This guy who's, you know, who she's banging right now, he's going to end up in the same ballpark. Same shit's going to happen. I guarantee you, a year from now, same shit will happen to him. He's going to be the one depressed because she's going to fuck him over too. That's what women do. At that age, they like to fuck with guys because they can. They can. At that age, the ratio of single men to single women is huge. There's way more single guys. Remember high school, how you had like five guys who were the jocks who got all the pussy? And then like the nerdy girls got no guys, and like 90% of guys couldn't get laid? Well, as you get older, the ratios change. Now it goes – now a 60-year-old – the 60-year-old bracket, it's the opposite. A 60-year-old woman who's single, she can't get a fucking guy. Because no guy who's 65 or even 70 is gonna want her. He's the 65-year-old who's in good shape, man, he's gonna be chasing the 40-year-old chicks. He's not gonna be chasing the 60-year-old chick. So as you get older, shit, the ratio changes, and it becomes a lot more single women versus men. Because remember, men, you know, age quicker, they die earlier. It has to do with marriage and divorce. There's all kinds of factors involved. So it's going to shrink. So you're going to be in control as you get older. So just chill right now. When I was 25, a girl broke my heart. All right. I was an insecure bitch about it. I didn't like, you know, that she had male friends, all this shit. She went and she found another guy, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then like I got my shit together. I built a house. I got into shape. You know, I saved money. And then like a year later, she like messages me out of the blue, and she's like, "Oh, you know, we should get back together." And I just laughed. I said, "LOL," and I just blocked her. You know, it's just I didn't want her anymore. You know, I was like, "Fuck you." You know, so you got to better yourself at this point, and you got to rise above it. And it's good. It's fucking healthy. I love the smell of rejection in the morning. You should fucking love that shit, you know, embrace it, you know, and use it as motivation to get your shit together. And you're going to come out like a fucking, like a boss in the end. All right. So another steroid question. First cycle ideas. Now, let me just say, first of all, if you go on any forum on the internet and you ask for a first cycle, everyone's going to sell you the same fucking thing. 500 milligrams of test a week for 12 weeks or whatever. Something like that. 10 to 12 weeks or something. It's the same cookie cutter routine. that everyone says. And if someone chimes in and tells you to run something else, you'll get a bunch of other people come in and bash them. Like, oh, you shouldn't run that, you know? You should just stick to this. So I'm not a cookie cutter person. I hate the cookie cutter shit. Okay? So I want to kind of like tell you that you don't have to run the whole 500 milligrams of test a week for a cycle, okay? The beauty part, though, of testosterone is that it's both anabolic and androgenic, okay? And, you know, that also comes with a lot of side effects. So now you're getting estrogenic side effects, androgenic side effects. So testosterone is – everyone thinks testosterone is, like, safe to run. You know, you can just run it for a first cycle and it's no problem. You recover fine, blah, blah, blah. It's not. Steroids are serious fucking business, okay? Even just a plain old 500 milligram a week test is going to shut you down. Within 10 to 14 days, your LH levels will plummet to near zero. Your FSH levels will plummet to near zero, okay? So it's serious fucking business. Your estrogen levels will shoot up. That can cause a lot of side effects. So just because everyone says run 500 milligrams of testosterone a week, that should be your first cycle, blah, 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 doesn't mean it's safe, okay? It does not mean it's safe. What do you think, Matt?
No, Steve's completely right. It's not mild. I've said this for years now. Testosterone is not a mild compound, guys. It's a serious compound. The reason why this cycle gets floated out there, and I do like it as a first cycle, I will say that. The reason I like it and the reason why it is put out there a lot is that ratio. You got 100 to 100. So like Steve said, it is both anabolic and androgenic. The other reason I like it as a first cycle is because you haven't used any other compounds. So if you were to run, you know, test Deca D-ball and you get a certain side effect, you don't know which compound it's coming from. You're not experienced enough yet to know how your body reacts, you know, and then add on top of that, if you're using different sources, you know, you might be fucked. So I like it because you know how you react to testosterone. And then the next time when you add something else in, because you want to progress as you go, you'll know how you respond to testosterone. So you'll know if you say you add in EQ or you add in DECA, if you get a different side effect, likely it's from that, you know, and you'll get a feel for it. I have no problem if you guys want to do something different. Like I'm a big advocate of, you know, experimenting and, you know, trying things out for your body. I know a lot of guys do like to try orals, right? They don't want a pin. It's, you know, taboo to inject yourself for some reason. And, you know, guys don't want to do it. It hurts. It's different, right? So, you know, some guys do want to run an oral-only cycle. I used to hate the idea because the hardcore in me says you'll get more out of an injectable cycle. And I still believe that. And I think you'll keep more from it. But when you step back and look at it, you know, if somebody really is brand new and say they wanted to try D-ball for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, you know what? That still does the same thing. It still gets them a feel for how they're going to react. You know, they're going to know what it's like to be on. They're still going to have to PCT. So they're still getting that experience. Yeah, they're not probably going to keep as much because they're going to gain a lot of water and that kind of thing. But, you know, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. You don't have to gain the most every single cycle. You know, it's still a learning experience. You're still going to grow from it. So, you know, you want to do that or, you know, you want to try SARMs. That's another good option too. You know, you could use SARMs instead of steroids. They're going to be more mild. You're still going to get results because, you know, in the end, guys, the only way you're getting results is if you're eating properly and you're training properly. Because you can take all the gear you want and do shitty on the other two. You're not going to get anything out of it other than side effects. Literally, you'll gain nothing if you don't train or eat properly. You might gain some water and you might gain some fat, but you're not going to get what you want. So, you know, it really comes down to those other two. Nobody wants to hear it because everybody loves the idea of, there's this magic super drug that's going to make them huge or ripped. And it just doesn't exist. The only thing that makes you big or makes you ripped is your consistency with your training and your diet, whatever your goals are, however, you know, you want to lay that out. But you got to do it every day, you know? So I'm becoming more and more open to running whatever, you know, as long as you're doing your research. Don't just run something because you read about it and, you know, Winstrol sounds kind of cool, so I'm going to run that by itself. Don't just do that. Really do a lot of reading. Steve's got really good articles on how to stack. So you could read those articles and you can learn why certain things work well with other things and put something together that makes sense and just go with it. If you're dedicated, just go with it. See how you respond. Let us know how you do, and then we can kind of guide you, you know, in the direction that you want to go for the next one.
So here's some first cycle ideas besides the whole cookie cutter 500 milligrams of test. How about running Primo instead? It's a mild compound. It's more mild than testosterone. You're not going to get the estrogenic side effects. You're not going to get the androgenic side effects. T-Bol is a good oral to run as a first cycle. Anavar is a good oral to run as a first cycle. Those are mild compounds. But, you know, it's funny though. Like, again, I go back to the point of, you know, a lot of guys are hopping on their first cycles, but they're not really ready to cycle. They're usually, they haven't put in the hours in the gym. You know, you got to put in years in the gym. You got to try different workouts. You got to try different diets, okay, until you're truly ready to use steroids. We see too many guys just hop on steroids like it's safe or something. And steroids are very serious hormones. So before you use them, you need to put in the hours. You need to build that base. Otherwise, they're just not going to help you. And they're just going to cause more problems than benefits to you. The whole reason they use steroids is because you want to take your shit to the next level, okay? But if you're only on level 3, okay, and steroids take you 2 levels above where you're at, you're only going to get to level 5. So you really need to get your shit in order. Put the hours in the gym so you get up to level 8 and then use the steroids to get up to level 10, you know, instead of just running them when you're haven't put in that time. So that's the best answer to that question. So all these people on forums, they always chime in, oh, you need to run 500 milligrams on a test with an AI and then run a PCT. They're really not doing a service to you because really they should be asking, how long have you been lifting first? And, you know, they should be asking, what's your diet like? Have you tried different diets? So those are the real questions we need to do. But, you know, we tend to just, you know, do a cookie cutter thing and everyone just tends to say the same stuff. And I'm not sure you're really helping a person. Because if you hop on steroids 12 weeks, 500 milligram test a week for your first cycle, and then afterwards, then what? It's like you're just going to lose it all because you don't have your diet and, you know, you're not working out consistently. So where does it get you in the end? So I would like to see more on forums guys really choosing to use steroids when they're truly put in the time and truly built a base for their own benefits. Because a lot of guys in your gym are on steroids or have used steroids and they look like shit. I mean, that's a fact. I'm sorry to tell you, but that is a fact. And it's because they truly have not put in the hours. They don't have their diets. They have no clue how to eat, you know, and we, you know, we fail. We fail them when we don't really try to help them broadly. So Matt, I'll let you add what you need to add and then take us into our next topic. You had an interesting one.
Yeah, the last thing I'll say on that topic is, you know what? Everybody's so different, and that's why you really want to know. You want to put the time in to find out what works for you. I can just give you a couple examples, like personally from my life. I'm 35 now, I can't get away with eating pizza. I can't get away with, after my workout, eating a ton of carbs. I used to. It was fine. But now my body doesn't respond to that. I'll just get fat. I'll just get bloated. So I've learned that over time, that I need to change the way I eat. I need to eat more protein and more fats and lower my carbs, because that's just the way that my body responds. I've also learned, for example, with training, that there's certain exercises with my shoulders that I'm very careful with now, because as I get older, I don't want to have joint problems, and especially in the shoulders, like, it's so easy to have injuries. So I'm very careful with how I train. So there's certain exercises I eliminate. I don't do Arnold presses, because that twisting motion at the end will cause me pain the next day, and I don't like that. It makes me feel like I'm going to do damage if I keep doing that, so I've eliminated that exercise from my routines altogether. So that's why you guys really want to put the time and the hours in, because you'll learn so much about your body, you know, as far as your diet and your training, because that's what matters. Same thing comes to your cycle. You'll learn when you slowly start using different compounds, different things, how your body responds. So just, you know, pay attention to what goes on with your body. So we'll bring in that next topic. I did get an email about somebody. He was really in a panic, and he wanted to know, why am I losing my strength and size during PCT? It's a really simple question, and it's very common. It happens all the time. So I'm assuming this guy, he's, you know, only cycled. Maybe it's his first one. Maybe it's only, you know, he's run a couple. But I mean, you have to expect some, right? You're not on steroids anymore. You may have some in your system still, but you're not on, you know, so you're not going to be as strong. You're not going to be as big as you were. So part of it's mental. You need to understand that's what this is. The other things are your PCT. And I already went over it earlier, the perfect PCT, you need to run that. That will help you keep as much of your gains as you can. It's also the intensity, you know, you're with your diet and with your training. When you start to come off and you don't have that aggression anymore, you start sounding like the guy from our relationship topic who's a bitch, you know, you start feeling like that, you're not going to train as hard in the gym. You're going to get home and you're going to be like, you know, fuck it, I'm not eating, or, you know, I'm not going to make a good meal. I'm just going to eat shit today. You know, those little decisions will add up to, you know, losing strength, losing size in PCT. So on one hand, yes, it's normal. You're going to lose some. On the other hand, you need to do everything you can to prevent, you know, as much of this as possible. And that's exactly why things are in the perfect PCT that are more than just Clomid and Novadex, because those will really help. CIRMs aren't going to help you keep your gains. You know, they're not going to prevent muscle wasting. So it's really about putting all that shit together. And don't forget, guys, in your PCT, this is something you'll learn over time. I don't know if Steve has had to do this in the past, but I know I have. I've had to lower my calories a bit in PCT. Because when I'm in the middle of my cycle, I'm burning more calories just based on my training, my frequency, my intensity. I'm burning more calories. I can get away with eating more. Into PCT, I have to dial it back a bit just because I'll end up adding fat. And once you start doing that, it just creates that, you know, snowball effect. You start getting fatter, your estrogen goes up, you're tired, you don't, you know, feel great. So, you know, again, little things along the way you'll learn, but it might be just a slight adjustment. You know, you go into PCT, you may only have to lower your calories 100 or 200 per day. That's it. But just keep in mind, you may have to make that slight adjustment. Steve, what do you think about losing strength and size? You got any special tips on, you know, preventing it, or is it just par for the course?
I think it depends on your situation, and depends on what you're running. I can tell you with Tren or Anadrol, these are very, very potent compounds that will increase strength very, very rapidly when you're on them. And the problem with that is it's a boomerang effect. So you'll increase a lot of strength when you're on, then when you come off, your strength will tank. So it's very hard to keep your gains. I've had someone tell me, oh, no, you keep all your gains when you come off. No, it doesn't work like that. I don't think they quite understand. The steroids only work when they're in your system. They don't magically keep working when you come off. So, unfortunately, it's all about taking 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. And it's a slow process. When you're running trend, it seems like you're taking 10 steps forward and then you take like 9 steps back. So it's a little more of a boomerang effect where you get this huge strength and then it drops off. So it's just something you have to deal with. The whole roller coaster effect is a reason why a lot of guys just blast and cruise and they stay on. And I don't think there's anything wrong with blasting and cruising, but I do think too many people do it when they shouldn't be doing it, because what you're going to end up doing is blowing out your HPTA, blowing out your reproductive health at a very young age. So, I mean, if you're in your 20s and even your 30s, you should not blast and cruise. You wait till you're older to do that, because when you get older, you know, your testosterone levels are going to come down, your HPTA is going to weaken naturally. It's going to happen. So, I mean, there's no reason for you in your 20s to be blowing out your HPTA already. So I would save it for later. But, you know, it depends. Like, if you get slow, lean, consistent gains on your cycles, you can hold that. But if you get crazy gains, like some guys will hop on a test, D-ball cycle, they'll eat a bunch of shit, they won't run an AI as much as they should, and they'll blow it up a bunch of water, water, fat, and very little muscle. And they'll blow up huge, and then it's like a balloon. It ends up popping when they come off. Or you can run a mild, sensible cycle, something like Primo or something like EQ, and gain slow, consistent gains. And that can add up over time. Let's say you gain 2 pounds a year over the course of 20 years. That's 40 pounds that you end up gaining versus wanting to gain 10, 15 pounds all in one chunk. So obviously our bodies are smart and our bodies are going to want to adapt. So they're not going to allow you to keep a lot of strength and a lot of gains. And like Matt said earlier, something like your shoulders, if you get too strong too fast, that's a great way to destroy your shoulders or your knees or anything else, any sensitive area. I blew up my rotator cuff because I was running tren cycle after cycle after cycle, and I was getting so fucking strong running tren that I got too strong for my own good, and my rotator cuff failed on me. And I guarantee you, half the guys in your gym who are lifting have some type of rotator cuff issue going on. You know, it's minor where they don't notice it. I didn't notice it myself until I actually got an MRI because I was noticing some inflammation going down my arm and stuff. So it can be very tricky to know you have these types of issues. So, you know, you gotta realize that and you gotta be smart, you know, and this is a marathon, not a sprint. It's so hard, you know, when you're young to accept that, but you're going to have to if you want to have long-term success.
Yeah, it comes down to expectations too and like the mental part of the game. So just take two examples. I'll just make up generic numbers here. So say you're going to, you know, say you bench 300 pounds, okay, and you run your cycle and you run D-ball and you increase that bench to 350, and then you run your PCT and you come back down to 310. You're going to be very disappointed. You're going to say, I'm losing all my strength. You know, I've gone up to 350. I'm all the way down to 310 now. But on the other hand, say you swapped out the D ball and ran the T ball. So your bench went from 300 to 320 and then only down to 310. You're probably going to feel pretty good, right? Even though you ended up at the same place, it's the fact that you didn't have all the water and you knew what you were doing and you knew what you were getting into. So, you know, you just remember the mental aspect of the game too, guys.
We have another topic. It's about DHT blockers. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this was an email question, and the guy basically said that DHT blockers sound like the perfect drug to run anytime you're using steroids, because it'll help prevent hair loss and it will also help keep your prostate healthy. And I thought, this is probably one of the best questions we could answer, because on paper, yes, it does sound like that. But in real life, we know that things don't always work that way. So the first issue is going to be, you know, we'll touch on the side effects later, but it is a DHT blocker, which means it can only stop the conversion to DHT. So if you guys are using something that's bad on your hairline, like say Winstrol, for example, terrible on your hairline, if you're using that and you take a DHT blocker, it's going to do absolutely nothing for you, because Winstrol already is a DHT. There is no conversion. Now, if you're going to use something like testosterone, yes, a DHT blocker will help. And when I say DHT blocker, I'm talking more of finasteride or dutasteride, or the more common brands that are prescribed by doctors. So yes, that in that case, it will help. And it's also the same thing for prostate health. DHT blockers will be prescribed to people that have enlarged prostates. We know that people that irresponsibly abuse steroids will end up with enlarged prostates. That's just part of the game. So yes, a DHT blocker will help in that aspect, but they also come with a ton of side effects. And some of these can be permanent, and there's actually a post-finasteride syndrome that people suffer with because of that. So I'll let Steve touch on the side effects a bit, but the few things you can do to help out that won't involve, you know, adding a prescription drug to it is just use a nice shampoo that'll help with, you know, that's an anti-hair loss shampoo. I know Need to Build Muscle has N2 shampoo. That'll really help. You can also just use something like Rogaine, you know, to help stop hair loss. In the end, I find that it's more genetic than anything. Yes, if you're going to use steroids, it is going to contribute to hair loss, but genetics are going to be a much stronger factor in, you know, the amount of hair you actually lose. So I guess that's kind of it. Like, Steve, get into some of the side effects of using these, you know, these DHT blockers.
Yeah, and let me explain what actually DHT is. DHT is our sex hormone. It's what gave us penises as babies when we were, you know, fetuses. So what happens is your testosterone converts to dihydrotestosterone, which is DHT, at about a 5% rate. It's a metabolization. So when you're running steroids, you're running more hormones. So what's going to happen is you're going to get more of that metabolization into DHT. So your DHT levels will go up. Also, when you're running a DHT derivative, which isn't a testosterone-derived steroid, that's a direct DHT. So something like Winstrol or Masteron, Anavar, Primo, Proviron, those are straight DHT. So those are going to give you instant DHT in the body. So what ends up happening, DHT, one of the side effects of DHT, first of all, is that it does fry head hair follicles. Okay? So that's why guys, you know, who abuse steroids, you see these online YouTube gurus, they're all bald. And you see professional bodybuilders, they're all bald. It's because they've abused steroids for so long that they end up being bald because they're frying their head hair follicles. But also another side effect is your prostate gets enlarged. So you'll start noticing maybe you're peeing a lot. You're waking up at night to pee more than you would like. You have some pain when you pee, where it's kind of difficult to kind of urinate. So like the guy who's asking the question said, well, why not use a DHT blocker? Why not use finasteride or dutasteride? Because it's going to block the conversion of testosterone to DHT. Well, first of all, that is true that it does that, but they don't do anything when you're running a DHT derivative. It's blocking the metabolization, but it's not directly blocking DHT. So it's not going to help you. So these guys who are bald and stuff, you can't just start taking finasteride, dutasteride. The guys who are bald who are using steroids, it's not going to help them because they're using a lot of DHT derivatives because that's what helps you cut. So that's not going to help your situation. But the other problem is we need DHT in our body as men because that's what gives us libido. That's what gives us our sex, male sex properties. That's why transvestites, people who are transgender, will use finasteride and they'll use estrogen because they're trying to turn basically from male characteristics to female characteristics. So in my mind, I would not ever touch these DHT blocker drugs because as men, we need that DHT. So what can you do for your prostate? You can take a prostate supplement. N2Guard has supplements in it that will help relax your prostate. Another thing you can do, and this is common sense, is cycle off steroids. If you only run one or two cycles a year and you spend most of the year or half the year natural, then that's going to relax your prostate. That's going to relax the DHT effects. So those are two common sense things that you can do to help with your prostate issues. And then like Matt said, N2 shampoo works well. I use it every day and you just put it in your hair, leave it for like 5 minutes and then rinse it out. And it really helps moisturize, it helps strengthen your hair, and it helps kind of offset that head hair fry follicle.
So just two things to add quick. N2Guard, the ingredient saw palmetto, that's the one, that's the number one ingredient as far as natural things that will help with the prostate. So that's what, that's why you really want to take that. Number two, quick, this is one of the reasons why we're very cautious to recommend or say it's okay for you guys to just do self TRT or blast and cruise, because if you're not doing blood work on your own, which you need to do, if you're going to do TRT without a doctor, you need to do blood work. And this is a prime example of why. Even a dose of 100 to 200 milligrams of testosterone per week will affect your prostate, some more than others. Again, genetics kick in. And this is what you need to know. If you just start doing TRT and you're having negative effects on your prostate and you're not doing blood work to realize that, that's a problem. You got to do that. So it's so important. So I just wanted to highlight, you know, this is just another thing you got to really watch. And I completely agree with Steve about these drugs. Like, I'm telling you from personal experience, they are terrible. A typical finasteride dose for somebody that's on TRT to prevent hair loss is going to be around 5 milligrams per day. That's pretty standard. I'm telling you guys, I used, it was around 1 milligram. I had a 5 milligram tablet and I tried to cut it into fours. So give or take 1 milligram per day. And within probably 2 weeks, I had more side effects. I'm waking up with a limp dick. I'm having problems getting it up. Never had these problems my entire life, ever. And all this is happening while I was on a pretty good cycle too. So I'm like, well, what the shit? Now, like, my dick doesn't work. I'm on cycle. Now I'm worried about that. Stopped using it. Everything went back to normal. I'd never touch these things again. The only purpose I would say is medically if you need it because of prostate problems. But as far as hair loss, nah, don't run that shit for hair loss, guys.
Final topic is limited budget. What supplements do I need? So let me just tell you right now what I'm running personally. I'm running N2SLIN before meals and also after workouts to kind of blow out my glycogen levels. N2SLIN will help nutrition partition, taking it before a meal, and it'll also help block fat gain. So, you know, it blocks that effect and it really helps keep me lean, but also helps kind of blow my glycogen levels when I'm doing a fast. Another supplement that I like is N2Guard. I take that year round. And then AC Generate is another one I like because it keeps my libido strong, helps pump my nuts up when I'm on cycle. It keeps, you know, my erection strong. If you can afford the extra strength version, that would be great. So, I mean, those are pretty much my three main supplements that I like to take, and they really do a good job. I'm curious to hear what you use daily, Matt.
Yeah, it's funny because, again, this goes against the cookie cutter mentality. I bet you guys were thinking the first thing we'd mention is protein powder. And you know what? You don't need protein powder. There's exceptions where, you know, guys really do need it if they, you know, their lifestyle is extremely busy, it's just out of control, or they can't eat certain meats because of inflammatory responses or whatever. But for most of us, we get so much fucking protein in our diet, it's ridiculous. It should be the last thing we worry about. We should be worried about eating vegetables. That should be what we think about every day, you know, as far as needing supplements. So for me, what I use every day, one that Steve uses that I also use every day is N2Guard. I find, and I will show you guys my blood work if you want, it really helps keep my cholesterol where it should be. I have really bad genetics as far as cholesterol. I do eat well. I eat healthy. I eat my vegetables. But I still have always struggled with keeping that in the normal range. I take N2Guard year round, and I've been in that range since I've been doing that. It's been a huge help to me. So I use it personally for that reason. Another thing I use year round is a multivitamin. And the reason why is because, yes, I do eat vegetables. I do eat healthy. I could eat more. And also the quality of our vegetables is so much worse now. A prime example is the mineral magnesium. Our soil is so overused, so many chemicals in our food. You're getting not even half of the amount of magnesium you used to get even 30 years ago. It's just amazing what's happened. You guys can look up studies on this shit. I'm not making it up. It's amazing how poor quality. So really be careful how you shop. But I use a multivitamin for that reason. And the other thing I like to use, and I don't use it year-round, is creatine. For the simple fact that it's studied more than almost any supplement, it's proven effective, and it's dirt cheap. It's so easy for me. I get ancient strength from Need to Build Muscle. I take 3 tablets a day. How long does it take you to take 3 tablets? 5 seconds, right? I don't need to be mixing powders and having a shake and all this other crap. I can just take 3 tablets, pure creatine, I'm done. So those are my main ones. I do have a protein powder on hand. I rarely use it. The time that I'll use it is if I know I'm going to miss breakfast. For like, you know, if I have a meeting really early or, you know, I'm in a rush for some reason, I do prepare a lot of meals, but I always have some protein on hand in case I need it for whatever reason. But those would be my daily go-tos. I'll just give you one that I would not recommend. You know, let's look at it from the other side. I would not recommend amino acids. Most of them are going to do absolutely nothing for you. Like I mentioned, most of us eat a shit ton of protein, which is amino acids. Why do you need to supplement with aminos if you're fucking eating aminos in your chicken and in your beef and in your food? Like, it makes no sense, right? These companies want to make you think that leucine promotes protein synthesis. Yeah, that's great. You get a ton already. You don't need more. They want to sell you products. So to me, I would say for most guys, most girls that eat, you know, a bodybuilder's diet, You don't need aminos. The one I left out I do every day before I pass it back to Steve is fish oil. Most of us don't eat near enough fish, and I fall into that category. I just don't. I don't have access to fishing. I live where it's fucking winter 9 months of the year, and honestly, you can't even buy salmon that's not farm-raised anymore. It just doesn't really exist. And read labels. You'll see that out there, guys, in your stores. So I do supplement with fish oil every day, and that's extremely important to me.
I think vegetables, people start with vegetables. A greens powder is a good idea. Just be careful when you buy a greens powder, because I just was shopping for one yesterday, and it's amazing. Some of them have 100 calories, 150 calories a scoop. I mean, it's ridiculous. So make sure you get one that has really good ingredients and doesn't have a ton of calories. The one that I found only has 25 calories per scoop. So if you put a scoop in with some water, it's only 25 calories. It's not a big deal, but that's something that, you know, you can get in when you don't get enough vegetables. A really good tip is soup. Learn to make soup. It's not hard. Get good quality vegetable broth, and then you can buy spinach and all the things to add into your soup. And it's really easy to make a soup at home that tastes good. And I like to add fish. I'm not like Matt. I actually have access to fishing. So I actually eat fish this time of year. The fishing's excellent where I live. So I'm able to eat fish every day, fresh fish that I catch myself. And I basically put the fish in a stew. I cook it, I bake the fish, and then I add it to my vegetable stew. And it's amazing. So that's a really good idea. So you're going to get those omega-3s, and you're going to get all the vegetables, the spinach, and what other vegetables you have in that stew. So those are some really good tips. Appreciate you guys listening. Evolutionary.org, hardcore raw. We will talk to you guys next time.